Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in their lives. And it's a place where your questions about faith and religion can be answered. And now, here's your host, Deacon Al.
Thank you very much, John, and welcome back to Good News here on Catholic Spirit Radio. I'm Deacon Al. I'm an ordained deacon of the Peoria Diocese, and I come to you every Saturday and Sunday evening at 8 o'clock with Good News, a program that was initially designed to speak to the lives of teenagers. And we still do that. We try and make the gospel open up and have meaning to you in your teenage life. But if you are preteen or if you are after your teenage years, no matter how far after your teenage years, you're still welcome to listen in. We hope we have information here that will be helpful to everyone. Lots of stuff to talk about today. First of all, happy Easter to everyone. What a wonderful celebration of the church. The true joy of the church is reflected in our celebration of the resurrection, the Feast of the Resurrection. The whole purpose for God becoming incarnate with man as his son, Jesus Christ, living with us, living as us, being prone to all the temptations that we are prone to, yet living a perfect and obedient life in the eyes of God and sacrificing himself for us and for our sins so that someday we can also enjoy that personal relationship with God in heaven. And we also need to welcome back James, my teenage cohort.
Hi there, I'm back.
Good to see you. It's been several weeks since you've been able to join us. Lots of schooling, lots of working.
Yeah. I'm on spring break now, so that's nice.
Good.
Yeah.
See, that's one of the advantages of Catholicism. We have all the good holidays. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're looking for time off from school, this is the way to go. Also, I need to wish happy birthday to my wife. My lovely wife, Sharon, had a birthday this week. I promised that I would not say which birthday it was, but it's one of those birthdays that if you have dyslexia, it doesn't matter because it's the same birthday no matter where you throw the numbers. And we'll just leave it at that. And Sharon knows what I'm talking about, and I'll probably hear about that when after she hears the show.
33.
Yeah, that's it, 33. Yep. As far as I'm concerned, she's 33 forever. I met her when we were 14. We went to the same high school together. Never dated in high school, didn't date till we came to college, happened to run into each other at church at college and started dating. And we're going to be married for 42 years this summer. Yeah, very cool. So, yeah, we're going to stick with 33.
Okay.
that'll keep everybody happy. So, James, happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you, too.
I'm hoping you and your family are taking advantage of Holy Week and enjoying a lot of the Mass celebrations that are going on. Wonderful. If you're listening tonight, hopefully you also took advantage of the beautiful Masses of the Triduum, which is really, for me, it's the highlight of our liturgical year in the Catholic faith, where through the various Masses and services of the Triduum, we see so many parts of our faith being established. Confession, the Mass, all sorts of our servant leadership that we show through the Church all come to fruition during the Easter Masses. Have a fairly long gospel to read. It's one of the, we have three choices. It's one of those days during the year where the priest can choose the gospel rather than just following the ABC schedule. Easter gives us a few different choices. And so I'm going to pick one that we don't often hear on Easter Sunday, but we hear oftentimes during the year. And I want to use that because the explanation of it, I think, is just beautiful. And I love what it talks about. And a lot of people don't really get the depth of this story. It's the walk to Emmaus. But before we get there, James, since we spend a lot of time on this show answering questions from teenagers, as a teenager, as the representative of your peer group, what question about Easter might you have?
So I've been hearing a lot about how Easter is a pagan holiday. And What's up with that?
Like, yeah, that's a great question. That's a great question.
I don't understand how that could be considered a pagan holiday when, you know, it's all about Jesus.
Yeah, that's an accusation that comes mostly from the non-Christian world, of course. Most Christians have a great understanding of what Easter, or by whatever name you call it, is about. But non-Christians tend to make the accusation that Christian holidays are actually pagan holidays. Not really true at all. However, the word Easter could very possibly come from the name of a Germanic goddess from many, many, many centuries ago. The name of the goddess, the people called her Esther. Esther, of course, a false god, never actually existed. But Esther was worshipped in the Germanic regions as the goddess of springtime, of new birth and fertility. And it's possible, we don't really know because it is such an old word, it's possible that the term Easter comes from that spring celebration from the goddess Esther. Does that make it a pagan celebration? No, not really. Certainly not the Christian celebration. What it does mean, it's another example of enculturation, where as the Christian church came into an area, there would already be celebrations in place, pagan celebrations in place, pagan just meaning non-Christian. And in order to move people from those pagan beliefs into the Christian beliefs, they took the pagan celebrations and gave them Christian meanings. So the pagan celebration of spring became the Christian celebration of the resurrection. In most countries, it's not called Easter. It's called the Paschal Feast or Pascha, which means Passover, because that's really when the first crucifixion took place, when the crucifixion of Christ took place, was during the time of Passover for the Jewish people. And so in most countries, it is still called the Paschal Mystery, the Paschal Feast, or simply Pascha. In the United States is one of those places where it's still called Easter. And one of the reasons is, just like with Christmas, we have a religious celebration of Christmas that has to do with the nativity, the birth of Christ. And we have a secular celebration of Christmas that has flying reindeer and talking snowmen and things of that sort. So here at Easter, we also have a religious celebration of the resurrection of Christ, and we have the secular celebration that contains fun things like Easter eggs and 6-foot bunnies and things of that sort. So it's not the same celebration at all. There is no pagan celebration of Christ's resurrection. There is no Christian celebration of springtime. So to say that the two are the same really isn't true. But I can understand how that's an easy target to try and hit at. And so a number of mostly agnostics and atheists tend to throw that stone. And it really has no meaning in the faith. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions you have about Easter?
Well, I know we went over at Mass on Palm Sunday. We went over a different story.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that we were thinking about different things. I did not know that there was a choice this.
Not many days during the year where the priest can select the gospel, but this is one of them.
Yeah, that's a nice thing for the priest to be able to do.
But Palm Sunday wasn't that long ago. That was just a week ago. Yeah. What reading did you hear there that you had a question about?
Oh, there was the one about she pours the perfume. I can't remember who it is, but she pours the perfume over Jesus, and it's like $300 worth of perfume. And the disciples say, well, you could have sold that and then donated $300 to the poor.
Right.
And then Jesus defends that and says that it's okay. But why wouldn't Jesus prefer to that perfume to go to the poor than just to pour it over him?
Yeah, that's a great question. So let's go back and look at the amount of money. It was actually 300 days pay.
Oh, 300 days pay, yeah.
So we're talking an enormous amount of money. What would in today's value be probably close to $100,000. And it was all just poured over his head at once. So, yeah, the question was raised among some of the people present, Judas being one of them, because he liked to raid the purse of the apostles, of the disciples. And so to see that much money being wasted, you know, when you have a criminal heart, that's really going to strike you fairly deeply. So why was it done? It was done to anoint God, the Son of God. It was done purely out of love and out of respect for the divinity of Christ. Would not showing Christ respect change the number of poor in the world? Would taking that money and dividing it up have rid the world of poverty? We've thrown billions of dollars at poverty just in the United States every year. And do we have fewer homeless people? We don't. Do we have fewer poor people? We don't. Christ's point was he was only here for a short period of time in person, but the poor will always be with us, and so far he's absolutely right. The only solution to poverty in the world isn't going to be putting more money into it. It's going to be the development of Christian consciousness, a Christian heart in more people. Poverty exists because sin exists. Poverty in the world is brought about by the sin of mankind. We cause poverty. And you can see that not only in this country where we let politics and people getting their 10 minutes of fame on television or on the internet takes priority over actually doing something about the problem. We have, through the Catholic Church and many other Christian churches, we have many ministries who are out there dealing with the poor, helping the poor, housing, clothing, food, medical care. So it's not like the poor are being ignored. But the problem of poverty cannot be solved with money.
I mean, you could always do more, though. You don't have to waste that. I mean, I wouldn't say waste it, annoying him. But I think that it'd be a better cause still.
And Christ's lesson is that while he's with us, there is no greater cause, there is no greater purpose than Christ. Mm-hmm. And that as more people turn to Christ, we would have, if more people turn to Christ, we would have fewer people in the world because more people would act Christ-like and give more people the care they need, love their neighbors the way Christ commands us to. If there was more love for other people, there would be less hunger, there would be less poverty, there would be less homelessness. One thing you could look at just in today's world, look at the problem of immigration. Why do we have thousands and thousands of people leaving their homes and coming to a different country? It's because the people in their homeland don't care about them and don't care for them. If they had care in their own homes, they wouldn't look to be leaving their homes. They wouldn't be sending their children to other countries for a better life if they had a good life in their own country. And the only reason they don't is because of human corruption. So the solution, the problem isn't Christ. The solution is Christ. The problem is the greed and the sinfulness of mankind. Okay, we're going to move on to our gospel reading right after these messages.
Stay tuned. Good news will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Catholic Spirit Radio wants to be sure our listeners in Central Illinois know about our active Facebook page. Highlights from our Facebook page include Mother Angelica quotes, special Catholic Spirit Radio events, plus links to podcasts and important information. We invite all our listeners to become a follower of the Catholic Spirit Radio Facebook page because keeping in touch with you is important to us. Thank you for liking our Facebook page, listening to Catholic Spirit Radio, and spreading the word about our radio station.
Catholic Spirit Radio is here for you 24 hours a day. And just by tuning in, we help you learn about the beauty of the Catholic faith. If you're listening today and liking what you hear about the truths and traditions of the Catholic faith, maybe this is a time that you take a bold step. Whether you desire to become a Catholic, wish to return to the Catholic faith, or simply want to know more about the faith, find out how to take the first step by inquiring at any of the local Catholic churches, asking a Catholic friend, or contacting Catholic Spirit Radio. God's welcoming and loving arms found in the Catholic faith are waiting for you.
Welcome back to Good News. Again, a happy Easter to everyone. I hope you're having a wonderful Feast of the Resurrection, taking time to reflect today on the wonders that God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. I always, one of my favorite parts of Easter is the reflection of joy of the Christian faith that comes through the recognition of Christ's sacrifice and resurrection. So our gospel for Easter Sunday, we have a few choices. I'm going to pick one you normally don't hear on Easter Sunday, but I think it's a wonderful and important story, and it comes from the Gospel of Luke. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped and looked down, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. How our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. Besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the woman had described. But him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are! How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on further. But they urged him, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread and said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?' So that they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, 'The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of the Lord. Many of you recognize this reading as being called the Walk to Emmaus. What we have here is two of the disciples of Jesus, one named Cleopas, and we believe the other one to actually be Miriam, Cleopas's wife, the sister of Mary, the mother of Christ. They have been present during most of Christ's ministry. They've seen him crucified, and now they're getting out of town. They are so distraught over what has happened that they're basically running away. They're leaving. But on the journey away from their home, they're met by Christ, who they don't recognize. And Christ begins to speak to them and explain the scriptures that reveal Christ throughout and the purpose for Christ's death and resurrection. And then they stop at an inn along the way to Emmaus, and they share a meal together. And during the meal, when the bread is broken and consecrated, they recognize the presence of Christ, and they are in awe. So much so that they change their mind about leaving and going to Emmaus, and they turn back and go back into Jerusalem to tell others about their experience with Christ. What we have in the gospel of the walk to Emmaus is the Catholic Mass. And that to me is so intriguing. Think about what happens in our own Mass. We leave our homes and we go on a journey. We're pilgrims, right? Our time on earth is that of pilgrims on a journey. This is not our intended home. So we leave our home and we go out. And we, along the way, we meet Christ. And where do we meet him? We meet him in church. And in the course of the Mass, the scriptures are opened. And they're read to us, and it's explained to us how these scriptures affect us in our life today. After the scriptures, the bread is broken and consecrated, and we have Christ present with us at our meal, just as the two pilgrims did in the walk to Emmaus. And in the eating of the bread, Christ becomes real in us, just as Christ became real with the pilgrims. And as Mass ends, we're told, go. Every dismissal of the Mass starts with, go in peace. We leave and we're sent back to our homes where we came from, back to carry the message of our encounter with Christ to others. So the entire flow of the Mass, all the parts of the Mass, come from this gospel reading of the walk to Emmaus. That, to me, is really something to be shared and to be looked at. And there's so much more detail. For instance, how did they show their longing to be with Christ was through a meal? And how important are meals to us? When we make friends, what are some of the things we do? We eat together. If you belong to any kind of an organization, it probably starts or ends with a meal, or as a meal of part of it. We have a meal as part of Mass because that's how we get to know each other, and that's how we get to know, build a relationship with Christ, is we eat together. And we see that in the walk to Emmaus as well. I love the fact that they're leaving Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a place of evil. It had a lot of corruption among the Pharisees, the scribes, the Romans who had taken it over. And they're trying to get away from that chaos. And they're going to a small town of Emmaus where they hope to have a better life. And we live in a secular world that is filled with the same kind of problems. The same type of corruption, the same type of sins that were found in Jerusalem. But yet in the Mass, through the Scripture, we're led into faith and strength in how to use our relationship with Christ to embolden ourselves against these sins. And we go back into the secular world, bringing that good news, that gospel of Christ with us, just as the two pilgrims did in returning back to Jerusalem at the end. So the question is, what are you getting out of the Mass? Are you attending Mass? And when you do you realize what's going on here? That you're coming in from a broken world, you're being fed and strengthened through the Eucharist, but then being told by Christ to go back where you came from and take this strength with you and take these messages with you. You are the light of the world. And it's through the Mass that we are fed both spiritually and physically to be able to go and share that light with others. You're listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio. If you have questions about your Catholic faith or about religion in general, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.org. If you'd like to listen to other episodes of Good News, you can go to our website at catholicspiritradio.org and go to our podcast section, and you'll find all our past programs on there as well. We hope you have a beautiful Easter Sunday, a wonderful Easter week. Remember, every day this week is Easter, so feel free to wish someone a happy Easter for the next 8 days, as is they're all the same Easter Sunday. It's such a wonderful celebration that we can't put it away in just 24 hours. It stays with us for an entire 8 days. James, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for your questions.
No problem.
I wish we could, if we had more than a half hour, we could spend even more time on them, because you have great questions, and it's okay to ask. You don't have to agree with the faith, but be open to its truth, and that's what we ask for. All right, so happy Easter, James.
Happy Easter to you, too.
Happy Easter, John, and to all our listeners, and we'll see you again next week on more Good News. In the meantime, may God bless you, protect you from all evil, and bring you to everlasting life. Amen.
You've been listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in your life. Submit your questions to Deacon Al at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. Deacon will answer your questions about faith and religion. Thank you for listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.